now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Back again this week, another book recommendation from Mr. Gary Wells, Words with Wellesley, the book Death of a Citizen. Got a stack of new gigs to attend across the globe, plus a movie review of a recent addition to Netflix about Miles Davis, and an opinion piece from me about a recent news story regarding John Wayne. That and a whole lot more in the Cocktail Nation. Right now, Ellington Hawk and Beatnik.
This is the Cocktail Nation, thanks to Ultraswank.net. It's a Cocktail Nation with Daniel Pemberton, the man that we're going to be talking to next week. Bugs, Beats and Bow Ties. He is part of our lounge music special next week on the Cocktail Nation. Meantime,
Cocktail Nation. Words with Wellesley.
You're a librarian, Mr. Wordsworth.
You're a dealer in books and 2 cent fines and pamphlets and closed stacks and the musty insides of a language factory. Words, Mr. Words, work.
We need to warn people.
As I came up, he was saying something. I didn't hear the words, maybe because of the sound of the river, maybe because I simply wasn't listening. There were a couple of cars going by overhead. It was as good a time as any. I took out the gun and shot him 5 times in the chest. Hey gang, I'm Gary Wells from SoulRideBlog.com, and I'm here with this month's book review for the Cocktail Nation. This time we're looking at Death of a Citizen by Donald Hamilton from 1960. Death of a Citizen marks the first appearance of Matt Helm. Now, let's get this out of the way. All of us swingers know Matt Helm from the 4 films starring Dean Martin. Where these films are concerned, I've always said that, quality-wise, beneath James Bond is Derek Flint, and beneath both of them is Matt Helm. Now, I love the movies, and I hate them. I hate them because they were supposedly based on books, although they bear zero resemblance to the novels, which were a great run of 27 serious stories by Donald Hamilton that started with Death of a Citizen. The Matt Helm books are great pulpy tales of murderous men and women and their nefarious deeds perpetrated all over the globe. But the cool thing about Matt Helm, the thing that sets him apart from secret agents, is that he is not a secret agent. He is an assassin. Like a secret agent, he is also responsible for preventing the world from falling under the control of villainous entities. But the means by which he is to achieve this is singularly murder. When the situation has dissolved to the point where the only answer is to eliminate an enemy, Matt Helm is that eliminator. In a backstory often hinted at, Helm was a soldier in World War II that distinguished himself with certain abilities, and he was utilized by a clandestine unit ran by a man named Mac. When the war ended, Helm went back to the world. He met a nice girl and started a family, finding work as a photographer. He becomes a citizen, and 13 years go by, and it is now the summer of 1958. Matt Helm is, by all appearances, a regular Joe with a wife and kids. Like many men of his generation, he looks, quote, normal. And this, for me, is the first interesting part of this series. It brings to mind all that I have learned and wrote about the post-war man. So many men came home from World War II shattered, changed in many ways, some subtly, some not so. Where Helm differs than most other veterans is the horrors of war and the memories do not haunt him. They don't own him. He owns them. But he has suppressed his violent nature successfully. He has reassimilated. And then Tina walks in. The Helms live in Santa Fe, and Matt Helm and his wife, Beth, are at a cocktail party at a friend's home. Matt sees Tina arrive, and he places her immediately. Memories from the past of missions they worked on together during the war, intimacies they shared under those dire circumstances, return. Matt has grown soft and complacent, but he is surprised by the clarity with which his old instincts kick in, and one thing he knows for sure, Tina showing up here is no accident. If she is here, she is looking for or has found Matt, and something is up. It's not long before Tina and Matt meet and renew their acquaintance, and it's not long after that that a girl that was also at this party turns up dead. Tina refers to Matt by his old code name, Eric, and frames him to get him to help her with her current mission. Tina keeps Matt in the dark, but he tries to unravel what she is up to exactly and how Mac may figure in it. Mac finally reaches out to Helm and tells him that Tina has gone rogue. I always loved the sound of that. I hope to go rogue myself one day. Tina is now working with an enemy organization. Specifically, this organization seeks the demise of an American atomic scientist. Mac tells Eric he is on the clock again, saying, "You can never be discharged from a unit that never existed." Stop Tina, he is told. Stop her permanently. Tina ups the ante by kidnapping Matt's youngest daughter, giving Matt even more incentive to engage his old colleague. Matt's long-suppressed violent nature becomes the default again. This is the metaphorical death of a citizen. He realizes now for that the last 13 years he's been living a lie. He realizes that to live and operate as he had in the war is really his true nature. And when the life of his daughter is threatened, that nature comes back easily to the surface. This is actually like the plot of the film Taken, only it's 50 years ago. The ending needs to be talked about, but I guess this is technically a spoiler. Matt gets his daughter back. To do so, he has to coldly and brutally murder and beat people. The climax comes when Matt's wife enters a hotel room and sees the brutal carnage that Matt has inflicted. She sees her husband, whom she thought she knew, in a different light, and it repulses her. Matt now knows that the only thing to do is to leave Beth, who won't have him now anyways, and the kids, and rejoin Mac and his Black Ops agency. So to wrap up, I can highly recommend Death of a Citizen by Donald Hamilton. It's easily available at Amazon or at abebooks.com. If you'd like to read my full review of Death of a Citizen, you can head over to my website, soulrideblog.com. I'd like to thank Coop Cooper and Cocktail Nation. Once again, this is Gary Wells from soulrideblog.com, and I'm encouraging you to pick up a book.
Words with Wells, Cocktail Nation.
A microphone. Ha! She must have a partner.
The Cocktail Nation.
L'Ontario DJ. Cocopa. Cocktail Nation.
Some advice from an average guy. If you're seeing a dame who won't give you her name and she can't look you straight in the eye, she could be a spy. She's a suspect if there ever was one. It seems that she's living a lie. She gives you a wink as she pours you a drink, and she smiles as she straightens your tie. She could be a spy. Maybe she's packing some heat in her pocket, or slipping some stuff in your wine. She's staring right at the electrical socket, waiting for some kind of sign. Thank you. Maybe she's packing some heat in her pocket, or slipping some stuff in your wine. She's staring right at the electrical socket, waiting for some kind of sign.
Combination with Swing Ahead, She Could Be a Spy, the Metropole Orchestra, La Paloma, and Spyfy, Secret Agent Man. All connecting that one to Gary Wells, Words with Wellesley, and of course the book which starred the character of Matt Helm in Death of a Citizen. Do check out his blog. It is soulrideblog.com.
On de Cocktail Nation, it is Dirk Cooper.
From Susie Spence from Tasmania. It says, Coop, I loved A Blind and Evil Mission. Such a great read, and your noir style is sensational. Thank you very much, Susie. Of course, Susie is referring to my Licato Prince book that I've got up on the iBooks platform. You can check it out for free. It is for free, which is cool. The Licato Prince book collection, there's two of them, Accidental Assassin, and of course, A Blind and Evil Mission, which is the most recent book. The first book, for sale, is through Bear Manor Media for just 99 cents. That's across various platforms, and A Blind and Evil Mission is a free book, follow-on, and simply available via the Apple iBooks store, so check it out today. And thank you so much for your kind words, Susie, and Susie's even put a review up on Apple iTunes as well, which is in the iBooks store, so thank you very much. Really appreciate that, because that certainly helps drive the book up. If you've got the book, actually, if you're thinking about getting it, please leave me a review, because that really helps it move up and up and up. You can always email me, thecocktailnation@gmail.com. Now, over the weekend, I got the chance to see the film Miles Ahead. It came out in 2016, but only just recently has been released to Netflix here in Australia. Sadly, some things often take a little while to get here because of licensing issues. The story is about a five-year hiatus of the troubled jazzman Miles Davis, who then teams up with a brash reporter from Rolling Stone magazine to retrieve a stolen recording and reignite his career. And I just don't know if I like this film or not. I watched it, kind of enjoyed it. I had more questions in my head than I probably should have while I was watching this film. It seemed like a junky hangover film is what it felt like. It turns out the story of these missing tapes, these stolen tapes, is not even true. The only true part was that he was on a retainer from his record company, and he did attempt to record something, but it never matured beyond a concept. And I must say, I'm conflicted as to whether this is a good film, a bad film. Sure, they talk about factual things like his sex addiction, his drug addiction, his brilliance as a musician, and his reclusive days, but to me, the weird thing is inventing a story around missing tapes and a chase to get those tapes. It just doesn't make any sense. Miles Davis' story is quite fascinating, it really is, but to create a whole new story, probably the most factual thing that happened was when he got arrested out the front of Birdland, and he got beat up by the cops just for simply standing there. That was fascinating to see that reenacted and put some real clarity to the difficulties that a black man would have had back in the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s. I don't know. Would I say don't watch it? No, you should watch it. It's just maybe poorly put together. Sorry, Don Cheadle. I must say, Don played a great role, a great character as Miles Davis. He was really quite believable. Anyway, check it out for yourself. The film is called Miles Ahead. And here is Mr. Davis at Around Midnight.
Mm-hmm. initiated.
Yes, I know. A simple door lock would be a lot easier to get into the penthouse. But hey, I got some nice records up there.
Hello.
Cocktail Nation.
Alternative with Anne Margaret and Bachelor in Paradise, Mr. Henry Mancini before that, and Something for Cat. Do check out Lounge Life magazine. It is your free retro magazine. You can download for free via the Flipboard app. Lots of retro stories there, collated by my good self. When I read a great story, I'll put it up there for you. It's really quite cool. I love this magazine. And it reads like a magazine as you flip through the app, so I definitely would recommend you check it out. You can find some links on my website, cocktailnation.net. One of the stories I've put up there, and I've also put up this editorial piece that I've written on my website, cocktailnation.net, is about John Wayne. When I first read this story and I added it to the Flipboard magazine, I thought, wow, where is this world going? Because there have been calls to remove John Wayne's name from the Orange County Airport after some rather inflammatory quotes resurfaced from an interview that the actor did in Playboy magazine in 1971. He was talking about black people, African Americans. He was talking about gay people. He was talking about homosexual rights. He talked about a whole bunch of things. Some things, look, I don't think I want to repeat them on this radio show. They're easily found. But clearly his views are not quite the same as what they are today. Now, this was back in 1971 when Richard Warren Lewis conducted the interview at his home in Newport Beach. There are calls now to remove John Wayne's name from the Orange County Airport, and I disagree with removing his name or any statues. Today, it seems to me that there's an attempt from some parts of society in what seems to be an organized conspiracy to wipe out the past because it doesn't fit into our narrative in a PC world. Now, try as they might to wipe out the inconvenient truths, they will never succeed fully, as history is well documented and will continue to fascinate the public. It's not going anywhere soon. The fact is, people, life, society, and history is messy. And removing statues of Civil War heroes, conquerors, imperialist pioneers is not going to change the past. In the case of John Wayne, I've got some shocking news for you. His opinions were widespread, and I'm sure, yeah, pretty sure actually, that your lovely grandparents who baked your cookies on a Sunday afternoon most probably felt the same way. Now, I'm not justifying any attitudes of the past, nor am I willing to condemn the people for them. The reality is that even opinions we have today are likely to be not very popular with people into the future. Seriously. Let's focus on the achievements of great figures in history and forget about delving deep into their past to pull them down and attempt to perhaps make ourselves feel better or worse still, sanitize history and only raise up certain people who fit within our narrative of the 21st century. It's just not right. Here's Serge Gainsbourg now. Les cigarillos and the Cocktail Nation.
Les cigarillos ont cet avantage de faire le vide autour de moi. J'en apprécie le tabac et la prévenance. Les cigarillos ne sont pas comme moi, empreints de timidité. Et leur agressivité est tout en nuance. Sans vous dire jamais rien qui vous blesse, ils vous congédient avec tendresse. Ah, quel tabac, quel tabac, quel tabac, quel tabac. Ah, quel tabac, quel tabac, quel tabac, quel tabac. Les cigarillos me valent bien souvent les adieux éplorés des femmes de qualité et des courtisanes. Les cigarillos savent comme moi que ce ne sont pas mes beaux yeux qu'elles implorent, mais un peu la fin du Havane, sans attendre que tout se consume. Elles disparaissent dans la brume. Ah, quel tabac, quel tabac, quel tabac, quel tabac. Ah, quel tabac, quel tabac, quel tabac, quel tabac. Ah, quel tabac, quel tabac, quel tabac, quel tabac. Ah, quel tabac, quel tabac, quel tabac.
Cocktail Nation.
With David Carbonara, a beautiful mind from the Mad Men series. That's the jazz version of the song. Let's take a look at the World of Swank gig guide for pastime album clocks.com on Wednesday nights in Dallas, Texas at the Bourbon and Batter. Ricky Derrick, he is playing there. On a Thursday night in Vegas, the Sharps at the Golden Tiki. Tiki Caliente coming up in May. Huki Lau for June. Tiki Oasis in August. April 20 at the Laurie Wilson Park, we've got the Tiki Carver Invitational. April 13, the Lion's Lair, it's codenamed Carter. April 5, Narco Lounge Combo playing at the Royal Oak in Bath. March 30, the Tiki Dinner hosted by the House of Taboo is being held in the Midwest. April 19, Big Toe Gratisfaction book release at the Orleans Casino Balouac Pub. So lots of gigs. Do check out the website, cocktailnation.net. Head over to the Water Swank Gig Guide and you'll find them all there. It's the Voodoo Organist now. It's Smokey on the Cocktail Nation.
sendaudio2thecocktailnation@gmail.com.
Hi, still giving a shout out to our lovely boys, Mantle and
Maitland.
We just want to let you know that we love you, boys.
Cocktail Nation.
Gelotario DJ Cocopa Cocktail Nation.
It's worth all those years in the past.
then my back door moves. Ain't no more.
Nation with Out of Abingdon and Change It. Lounge leader Coop Cooper with you. Next week on the show, Lounge Music Special, as we look into the life of Daniel Pemberton. What an amazing composer. More on his life next week. Going to leave you with Joe Ferreira and The Big Hurt. Stay hip.
That you're gone, needles and pins, twilight till dawn, watching that clock until you return, lighting that torch and watching it burn. Now it begins, day after day. My life ticking away, waiting to hear footsteps that say love will appear, and it's time to stay. Each time you go, I try to pretend that it's over at last. And this time the big hurt will end.